Now, it's time to go Inside the Green Room with Danny Green.
What's good, y'all? Welcome back. It's Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I'm Harrison Sanford. Ain't no Spanish coming from me today because I want to be as eloquent as possible. It's the NBA playoffs, y'all, and I'm so excited that we have gotten to this moment. The first weekend wasn't great, but yet it still had us watching the New York Knicks, 76ers. Oh, that was great theater. The Thunder versus the Pelicans. Oh, yeah, that was great theater. We're going to talk about those things. We're going to also name our top three players that Danny and I see raising their stock by the end of these playoffs, because there's some guys who should get that bag by the end of this postseason. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, Danny, if we look back at weekend number one, all the home teams won 8-0 if you were the home team. And as a man who's played a number of playoff games, can you take me into some of your locker rooms, whether it be in San Antonio or Toronto or LA or even Philly? What is the mindset from a mature team, when you lose game one versus when you win game one? How, what did you, and did for you personally, did you see your mind, your mindset evolve over time when you've lost a game one versus when you won a game one?
100%. I mean, when you're young, you think everything relies, not everything, but a lot relies on that first game. And that first game can dictate the series. When we all know that's not true. We've seen people go up 2-0 and lose a series. We've seen people go up the first game and lose a series. So game one is pretty much a feeler. And it's only kind of panic and concern if it's the road team that wins, if you're the home team. It's like, all right, the home team wins 8-0. They did what they're supposed to do. There's still a chance for these road teams to even out the series and make it a series. You know what I'm saying? It's not a series until somebody wins on the road. And obviously it can go 7 and the home team doesn't have to win on the road, but it becomes a series when somebody wins on the road, and that's what kind of dictates the series more so than it is game one. And it took me some while to learn that. And I don't like to go off emotions off game ones, but there were some things that were glaring after watching some of the game ones. And I don't say, like, oh, after game one, these teams are going home. But there's some teams after watching game one is like, they're going home. And it's obvious, you know, Boston is just – Miami's out a match with Jimmy. But there's certain teams that were just embarrassing, and I was just like, in game one, you shouldn't be embarrassed that way if you're a really good team. You know, and Phoenix Suns, they're going home, man. It just didn't look good.
Save it. We'll get to that in a moment.
It didn't look good, man. There's a couple teams that said after game one, seeing certain things is like, oh, they're going home. You know what I'm saying? Like, and some of them is like, even watching, it's like, they're going home, but they're going to make it a series. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can still make it a series. And certain teams, I'm like, okay, but there's certain teams I'm like, this is a sweep or a gentleman sweep, they're going home. And for certain, like I said, the standard for those teams, though, it shouldn't be like, oh, they're going to make it a series. It's teams that you would think win the series or at least go to 7 games. And those teams that I'm mentioning to you, which I'll mention later, are not going to go 6-7 games. They're probably going to be gone in maybe 5, maybe 6 games, but 5 or 6 games, they're going home. And it's not going to be a 7-game series. And they should have been a team that should win the series.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I'm highly disappointed in what I saw from the Indiana Pacers. Again, we'll talk about that later on the show, but let's get to our three players that are going to raise their stock around the NBA, on NBA Twitter, on NBA top 100 players in the league list by the end of these playoffs. My candidate number one, Trey Murphy. Oh, my goodness. Now, Danny, I've been a fan of Trey Murphy from last year because I used to bet on him.
Too.
I used to bet on him.
Was that his rookie year? Was it his rookie year last year?
Last year was his third year, I believe. It was his third year.
This is his third year. Last year was his second year.
Last year was his second year. So
I've seen him since his rookie year, and I was impressed. I was like, I'm surprised he didn't go higher because he shot like 47 from three at home. Wasn't great on the road, but he shot like 50-something from three at home, which was crazy. But sorry to cut you off. Continue, H.
No, you're good. I liked him because I used to bet on him because regardless of how many minutes he got a lot of three-point volume. He's a very confident shooter. And now with Zion being out and the times when Brandon Ingram has been out, he's getting a lot more opportunities to be himself. The Pelicans have an issue on their hand because he's going to be up for a rookie contract extension this offseason. And the way he's looking, if I was his agent, I don't just want a rookie extension. I want the rookie max extension because he's shown how valuable he can be. And if the Pelicans are smart, you might want to do that rookie max extension now, because if you mess around and let him get to restricted free agency, when the new salary cap hits in, that rookie max extension is actually going to be a cheaper deal than what his actual deal might be. So Pelicans are stuck between a rock and a hard place, because you also have Brandon Ingram going into the last year of his deal. They got to pay some people here. And remember, CJ McCollum's already getting the bag. Herb Jones knows how to play basketball. They got a lot of things that they're going
to
have to
They
got
to let one of them go. Home to Herb Jones, some one of them's got to go, right? They can't keep everybody.
They can't keep everybody.
Valanciunas is playing unbelievable right now, too. Like, he might get re-up paid in 20 rebound games. Trying to keep a big man or Larry Nance, one of those guys you have to keep somehow. So yeah, they can't keep everybody. Somebody's going to have to go.
Yeah, it's a good team, but an expensive team. If I was them, I'd hold on to Herb Jones. I'd hold on to Trey Murphy. And I'd just figure out, do I want Zion or do I want Brandon Ingram? One of the two. I don't know if you could fit both. But regardless of that being said, the purpose of this segment was just highlight some players who really look like they could be mainstays in the NBA and potentially have star potential, or at least raise their stock in the NBA. Danny, you agree with me. Trey Murphy, he's got the goods, 100%. Bro.
He's number one on the list for sure for both of us, I think. And I said, since his rookie year, I've seen, like, to me, it reminded me a lot of when I was in high school, the names you probably won't remember is like Gerald Green, just how athletic he is and how he can shoot the three ball. Obviously, Gerald was like a streaky shooter. This kid, kind of the same, but he becomes more consistent at the three ball. He shoots it very well, and just how athletic and the length that he has, is unreal defensively, offensively, how he can cut back doors. So if he uses it to his potential and an advantage, he can be a serious piece for that team.
Yeah, for sure. All right, who's your number two stock on the rise in the NBA playoffs?
Deuce McBride, bro. Deuce McBride came out firing, confident, and just, you know, hooping, bro. I'm saying, like, he didn't second guess, he didn't hesitate. And there was times that I've watched him throughout the year, and we know how good he is, how skilled he is. People know they got him for cheap there. Obviously, they don't have to pay him anytime soon, but he's become a household name. You know, that's where you get your stock and everything. It rises in the playoffs, and if they keep continuing to win, he keeps playing that role. He's the main guy for them off the bench. But Deuce McBride's number two for me throughout the whole playoffs, of how he came in and changed it. Because obviously Josh Hart, people know him. He played well. He hit some threes down the stretch. But Deuce McBride came in, hit four of them, like, from the jump in the first half. 21 points, you know, not just threes, though. You know what I'm saying? He's going inside out, and he's controlling, dictating the pace, playing point guard, setting the table, defensively playing pretty well, too. So he's becoming himself. He is a player, but he's becoming a really household name and a player that they're going to have to pay soon.
Yeah, Deuce McBride, a hell of a baller. I actually had the pleasure of covering him in high school, Cincinnati Molar. I actually covered his state championship game. We broadcasted the game, and he was always an athlete, but he's really worked hard on his jump shot and is paying huge dividends for the New York Knicks and his head coach, Tom Thibodeau. Hey, man, you have to give a round of applause to the Knicks front office. It's not just the Jalen Brunson contract. It's not just the Dante DiVincenzo contract.
Julius
it's
this contract.
Yeah, it's not just – it's also the contract on Deuce McBride. This year, he's making $4.7 million. Next year, $4.3. The year after that, $3.9. That's age 24, 25, 26. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2027. And remember, this was a guy who was the third string point guard to start the season. The Knicks wisely said, we can give away RJ Barrett. We could trade away Emmanuel quickly. He's going to be up for a new contract. We could send them to Toronto to get OG because we see what Deuce McBride is doing in practice. It's a shrewd move because I remember when the trade happened, Danny, I was like, oh, damn. Well, then who's going to back up Jalen Brunson? And I was hoping that the Knicks would go out there and get Kyle Lowry to back up Jalen Brunson. Kyle Lowry is not needed for the New York Knicks. This kid McBride's got the goods. I wanted to think of somebody else for my number two, but, like, I literally can't think of anybody else who's going to raise their stock any more than him.
It's clear cut, bro. It's clear cut. I mean, I said there's a lot of guys, and I could name for my number three. There's not just one person, and there's a lot of guys. I'm gonna say a lot of guys, but there's a couple of guys I can put that will be getting better or getting more rotational looks because of what they're doing. They're not going to be superstars or get a super bag, but these two guys are the ones that kind of change the game of dynamics. And you can see not only for Trey Murphy in the first playoff game, but in the play-in game of how big he was for them and just the potential he has. But you said in these first game of playoffs, and said for me, my number three, is hard to pick a number three. And even though Miami's losing, man, they don't look great. They're outmatched. Jaime Jaquez is another, like, he's the one that got him. him and Jovic is playing like he's a guy that people sleep on. He's playing some serious minutes. He's not a guy that's going to be making the jump, but he's going to be like, all right, we can look at him as a rotational player. But Jaime Jaquez is balling. I'm trying to think who else might be in that conversation that we might have missed. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, even though he's been in the league for some time, he played really well in that, that first game. You know, he balled out. You know, he's the reason why they didn't even use slow-mo that much because of how much he was balling. So he's another guy, and I don't see him making a jump to being a star, but right now he's affecting the game. He's going to be a rotational player. He might get a small little bag after this year of doing, if he keeps doing what he's doing. He's playing a huge role for Minnesota off the bench. So, yeah, there's a couple of guys that are like that, but those are my guys that I would probably put in that conversation of, like, making a decent jump, you know?
Yeah, and the purpose of this segment also was just to talk about guys who are going to raise their stock. So you could talk about Deuce McBride being, like, a guy only known to Knicks fans to basically known throughout all NBA circles. Trey Murphy being known as a dude with promise to being a dude who needs to get that bag. Mess around, and he probably might be able to get that rookie max extension. And the other guy who's going to raise his stock, the way he looked in game one and the way that he's looked so far when it comes to playing in the NBA postseason, yo, Anthony Edwards. I know we always thought he could be a superstar, and I know he was already a star, but Danny, you know.
That's why I can't put him in that.
Superstar.
Yes, he's coming a superstar for sure. He's putting himself in. If he becomes consistent, people believed it. People saw it. People compared him to Mike, his movements, his mannerisms, just how he plays. But if he's able to back it up and not only just beat you the way he's beating you, but talk it while he's beating you, you know, he's coming in that conversation where he's going to put himself in that MVP race next year sooner than we expect him to be.
Yeah, that's not just he's about to be the face of the league. It's, he's the face of the league. Like, we're talking about time. Just making another leap. That's the type of time that Anthony Edwards is on. And if he could take down the combination of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal and talk trash while doing it, that's not just about to be the face of the league, not about to be a superstar. No, he would be there. Let's talk about that series when we come back. When we come back, we'll break down the Western Conference. It's getting spicy in Minnesota. We'll talk more about the OKC and Pelican series. We'll talk about the Mavericks and Clippers. And we'll take some time as well to talk about, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm hitting my wrist. Oh, the other wrist. It was Dame time Sunday night in Milwaukee. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Inside the Green Room. Harrison Sanford, Danny Green. You guys already know the vibes. If you are listening to us on a podcast app, particularly the Odyssey app, you could also watch us on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can listen to us on the go using any podcast app that you're out there. And while you're doing that, do us a favor. Please give us a 5-star review. Give us any type of positive commentary. We appreciate that. It makes us keep going and doing what we do. And, of course, we'll be rocking with you throughout the entirety of the NBA playoffs. And speaking of which, we're going to go a rapid fire through the game ones, the things that Danny saw that he did or did not like in each series. And we just finished talking about Anthony Edwards. And, Danny, there was a concern that because the Suns were able to beat the Timberwolves this year 3-0 in the regular season, they held Anthony Edwards to 14 points per game in those three matchups. This is why they say the regular season don't matter, because it looked totally different in game number one. From a veteran player's perspective, somebody who's seen winning basketball, what did you see and how does that make you feel for the rest of the series?
I didn't like what I seen if I'm a Phoenix Suns fan or somebody in that organization. For Minnesota, I gained a lot of confidence. Obviously, the series is not over. They did what they're supposed to do. They're at home. They're supposed to win the first two at home. I see Phoenix be able to do. But just looking at the game, watching the game, and the energy, the mannerisms, just the look on people's faces from the Phoenix Suns, they're going home, man. It was an embarrassing fashion to a team that's younger than you, supposed to have less experience, a team that you beat three times. You shouldn't lose by 30. You know, like it's a game that. It's kind of a statement game. They made a statement, and you should, even if they win the game, that's fine. But the way you guys lost, I'm sure they'll play better, but they're so bad in fourth quarters. They didn't get enough scoring from their bench. It's because the bench is not really included, or their others anyway. Royce O'Neal did pretty well. He had 14. But Grayson Allen's a guy you just paid. He only got 3 shots. You're not involved. Nurkic.
Yeah, he's got to get more shots.
He's got to get more attempts. They're not getting a lot of attempts. They got 28 attempts from three. I said they've been a mid-range team. You know that because Beal, Book, and KD are mid-range guys. You know, they didn't get a lot of attempts in general. You know, they got 75. They have 13 less attempts than Minnesota. And most teams get like 80 to 90 attempts. They got 75 attempts in total. So that either they turn the ball over or not rebounding well, whatever it is, they're not getting the attempts. They're not getting the shots. So I'm concerned. I said, I'm sure they'll play better. But just watching that game let me know they're going home. You know what I'm saying? Like, this doesn't even look like it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a gentleman's sweep, if not a sweep. And Phoenix Suns are going to have to go back to the drawing board this summer and see what the hell they need to do. Because you paid all this money to get all these guys here, and you're not producing. Yeah. You're barely in the playoffs. We're in the play-on, respectively, probably should have been out if Sacramento was healthy. You know, if New Orleans was healthy, like if these teams were healthy, you guys are not even in the play. Like, you're in the play-in and probably going home. Barely making the playoffs, and then now you're in the playoffs, and probably if you get swept, gentlemen sweep. If you go six games, a little respectable, but even still, this is a series that you should win, or at least go seven games with all the money you spent.
Yeah, that's for sure. And again, and one of the things that they're gonna live to regret, I believe, is just not getting the point guard. And it's not to say that Devin Booker can't do it, but when you get to the playoffs and you potentially have to go against the number one defensive team, and Devin Booker, who's never been a primary point guard in his career, has to play point guard against Jaden McDaniels. Like, that's probably the worst way to start your postseason career as a point guard. Like, you want – that's not getting eased into the role in the postseason. He's a guy who should be getting the ball off the ball, getting set up for opportunities and not having to set up other people. It's a heavy burden for a guy who hasn't done this before. And, again, when you're doing it, you're not doing this against name your bad defender in the NBA. You're talking about a lengthy 6'11 Jaden McDaniels. That's not an easy responsibility to take on when you have to get everybody else involved, but yet you still have to score the ball. It's not ideal, and I think the Suns are going to learn that the hard way this postseason. Let's go to another series that I think a lot of people were sleeping on, Danny. When you look at OKC, we all know the issue. These guys don't have a good defensive rebounding team. They're going to get killed.
Rebounding in general.
For the life
offensive, defensive, there's no rebounding there.
There's no rebounding. And for the life of me, I don't understand why Sam Presti, with all those damn draft picks they have, couldn't have just used a couple just to try and answer that during the trade deadline. Nobody said you had to give up your best draft picks, but there would have been somebody out there that would have given you a backup big man for a couple second rounders, for maybe a late first in some year. I don't know why they didn't do it, but they didn't do it. And so when you take that, Danny, the fact that they're not a good rebounding team, and then you have to go against a team that has very good perimeter defenders in Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado and Trey Murphy, this thing is not going to be easy for the Oklahoma City Thunder to move forward. The saving grace for them might just be that Lu Dort had Brandon Ingram strapped up Sunday night. And if that continues, it's really going to be on CJ McCollum and the others to try and make up from the scoring, because Brandon Ingram couldn't even crack 15 points because of Lu Dort.
It won't happen. I think a lot of it is B.I. coming back from injury and getting his chemistry and his rhythm back. And CJ, they both find the rhythm, but it was a low-scoring game. But they're going to see where they attack. They had some great moments where they could attack and sit on the glass, but, you know, Larry Nance being in that middle, making the right play. Herb, they had like five attempts at the end of the game, and they shot all threes. Nice. You're shooting all – you're, it was a tie game. I think they might have been down one, but I'm like, why are you shooting threes? They shot four threes in a row, missed all of them. Herb Jones, CJ, somebody else. And I'm like, yo, go get a bucket. Yeah. And then next, you know, Shea gets an N1, which the call, superstar call, whatever, might not have been that much of a foul, but he got the bucket. He went to the basket, attack. New Orleans lost that game, honestly. And it's at OKC, so they're young. Even with B.I. being strapped, I don't see him getting strapped or staying that way the whole series. I don't see CJ playing that way. So, yeah, I think OKC is in trouble, man. But this is going to be one of those series, a hell of a series, because both teams are very up and down. You know, very, I'm going to say, just not consistent and shaky. But CJ, he scored enough, but he's got to shoot a little bit better. Trey Murphy did what he was supposed to do, did well. Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas, 20 rebounds. You're saying, like, those guys are going to kill Larry Nance, eight rebounds in 19 minutes. Like, they're going to be on the glass and kill them. Herb Jones will make more shots, hopefully, and to B.I. 5%. They're going to score more. So if they just find ways to score more, let's say, OKC, I don't see them getting more. They might get some more from Giddey a little bit, and maybe from Dort. But I just don't think they can score enough. They're relying on Chet a little bit too much and Jalen Williams. Like, those guys are good, but I don't think they're playoff-ready good yet. Shea can do it, but Shea's still not at the clip or efficient clip that he's normally doing it at. because the game slows down. They can focus on him. They have a lot of length. We said with B.I., with Herb Jones, with Trey Murphy, it's not easy to score against. So I think OKC is in trouble, but this one is going to be one of the series that we sleep on, and it's probably one of the best ones that's going to go seven games.
All right, so real quick. Seven-game series, you predicting it. Pelicans, OKC, who wins?
It's hard to predict after this one game. I want to go after game two to see. I think New Orleans is going to get them for some reason. But as if OKC takes care of home with 2-0, then I think I'll be like a little more comfortable. I still think it goes seven, but OKC will have that first two. They just have to win two more. But if New Orleans splits, OKC's in trouble.
Yep. All right, cool. Let's move on to the other series in the Western Conference. And Danny, this one was a shocker to me. We heard right before the tip-off, no Kawhi Leonard. And the way Luka has been treating the Clippers in terms of his personal performance and the rebuild of their Dallas Mavericks roster, I thought the Mavericks were at the very least were going to be competitive. It wasn't competitive for a while. And I think one of the things that really impacts the Dallas Mavericks structure as a team is that them and the Boston Celtics love the three-point shot. They're top two in three-point attempts. And when you take so many threes and you're the road team, Danny, you know the phrase, star players play better on the road, role players play better at home. It's hard for the others that, name your role player for the Dallas Mavericks. It's hard for those others to play well on the road, particularly shoot well on the road. So with them losing game one, and Ty Lue said that at some point Kawhi is coming back with the Clippers having home court advantage. And I was actually kind of surprised. It looked like crypto.com has some energy for the Clippers. That was surprising to me because usually it's a Laker arena. But I can't count out the Mavericks yet. I'm not counting out Luka and Kyrie.
But bro, it's gonna be serious. It's a totally different game. Like the Minnesota Phoenix game was a different one. Like it wasn't like Minnesota was lighting it up from three. Clippers shot 50% from three. Dallas Mavericks couldn't buy a basket. That's a big difference. James is a very good player. We know that. He comes out great. He's always going to – now, when it gets to game five, six, and seven, that's where your concern is with him if Kawhi is not there. So we're going to see if he can sustain that. He played well. He scored a lot. He set the table. Russ got involved, got some backdoor dunks. They had a lot of good energy. They shot 50% from three. They're not going to be any rush to bring Kawhi back as much as they're winning. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if they win, they're like, all right, that gives them an extra game. So he'll probably sit game two, which I think will be a mistake. I think it's a gift and a curse, man, for the blessing in disguise for Dallas. Them winning game one, it's like, all right, we can hold Kawhi up another game. Now, if Dallas splits in.
Dallas picks off game two.
It's all. You know what I'm saying? They get guys more involved. If you watch the game, they were missing chippies. Tim Hardaway at the rim, missing chippies, missing putbacks, missing threes. They had good looks that they normally make. This is just a game that. It just didn't fall for them. You know what I'm saying? And Phoenix might have had that too, but same, bro. Said it wasn't like Minnesota was lighting it up. They didn't shoot that. They shot 50 from the field, but they only shot 37 from three. You know, they weren't lighting it up.
But
if you lose a game, and Dallas still only lost by 12. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
50% from three. That's a good sign. Like, they still came back. They still fought. They played well enough. They scored 97 points. Clippers only scored 109. So it wasn't like Minnesota had 120. Yeah. It was a 12-point game by the end of it. In an embarrassing fashion for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, now if it's embarrassing and you're 30, it's like, all right, you have no chance. But if it's embarrassing for you and you're only 12, there's a lot of you can make up a lot of those mistakes in game two, especially with no Kawhi. I don't know if James will do that again. He'll probably play well, but 28-8-2, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That efficient. He hasn't done that many games this year. Like I said, when we're doing the over-unders, he didn't make many threes over. He had six threes.
Yeah, so yeah, that's an for James Harden this year, that's an anomaly. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, you're totally right. Dallas, you know, Kawhi sits out game two. All of a sudden, Dallas wins game two, and all of a sudden, it's a series again. And Dallas has two games in Dallas. So it's not. You're totally right. It's not over. Can't overreact to game number one. But Danny, blessing in disguise. You make a good point there. But let's get over to the last series that we're going to talk about today. Let's go over to the Eastern Conference. And shout out to Wally Szczerbiak, who I know from my working at MSG Network. He's probably somewhere smoking on a cigar because he got a lot of heat for talking trash about Tyrese Halliburton. Man. But Tyrese Halliburton, you ain't backing up that all-star status, especially with the way that Dame Lillard lit y'all up on Sunday night. Man went off for 35 in the first half. listen.
In the first half? Game,
yeah.
I thought he ended that with the game. I didn't know he had that in the first half.
35 in the first half, bro.
Okay.
Now, listen. Dame is going to do what he's going to do. But for Tyrese Halliburton to perform the way that he did, considering where he was, and, you know, yes, maybe he's not 100% healthy, but the man had a whole week off. If this is what he's going to be, and I know it was his first playoff game, but if this is what he's going to be, I was wrong. The Pacers have no chance. He's got to be the second best player on the court, if not the best player on the court. And he looked far from that on Sunday. The Indiana Pacers messed around and missed an opportunity to win this series. Because now, in my opinion, Danny, if this go, I thought if Pacers pick off game one, even if they split, right, then they can then Giannis, Giannis eventually comes, you know, comes back. But if they picked off game one and then potentially got a game two, right, because you got Milwaukee's down and out, it's over. Giannis is not coming back. He's not risking injury. At this point now, if it goes six, Giannis is coming back. Giannis is coming back. Giannis is back, it's over.
Yeah. The calf strain, you could never know. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. It could be 4 to 6 weeks. It could be 3 or 4. There is no prediction. Once again, this could be a blessing in disguise for them as well, but this is not the same case as the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers series. Indiana's going home. And I didn't think they had a chance. I mean, I thought they would make at least six games to have a chance, but I just knew they're not the same team as they were before the trade deadline. They're just not. Ben Mathurin out, trading Buddy Hield. Like, you don't use McDermott the way you should.
That Buddy Hield trade, bro. I don't.
Buddy's good. I don't know. Buddy's good, but he's not the guy, like I said, in Philly. They're not even playing him that much, but he's not like – but he gives you another threat and another dynamic. You have that with Doug McDermott. You don't use him. You have Doug McDermott. Use him the same way you use Buddy. You don't use him. But in the same breath, back to what you were saying, Tyrese is a very good player, and I always knew he was a very good player. The way he was playing an in-season tournament level was something I knew he was not going to be able to sustain. If he did, he'd be one of the best point guards in the history of the game. He'd be the best point guard. He'd be fucking Luka. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be Luka or – you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way. He was playing unbelievably – I'm going to say way above his head, but he was playing – and a good rhythm and playing really great. Like, he just had one of those.
He's playing first ballot Hall of Fame.
So for us to keep him to that standard is great. But mind you, even with that all said, even him not playing at that level, he could still play at a level where we know he could play at. And that's way more aggressive than seven shots. You got to shoot the ball more. You got to push the pace the way you're doing. Like, you just got to be more aggressive. They were one of the highest scoring teams in the league before the trade deadline, averaging 130 points damn near. 94 points is unacceptable. But like you said, I mean, I think they can get a game or two. They will play better, but they're going home, man. I think the rhythm is off, is different. Pascal played well, but him and Pascal still trying to figure it out, the whole group trying to figure it out. I don't like the rhythm since and they had Milwaukee's number beforehand. So if they kept the same group, I feel like this would have been a series. But I knew even before that, with Giannis being out, I'm like, Milwaukee's still going to beat them, and maybe in 5 or 6 games. But I didn't think Indiana said the way that they were moving after that trade deadline, after the trades they made. I wasn't confident in it. I knew they'd be going home.
Yeah, and you know, we're about to get out of here, but I think, you know, the front office, you know, they'll obviously have to, you know, reinvest in this Pacers team. But as it presently stands, and we all assume that, okay, Indiana trades, I think it was either 3 or 4 first rounders to the Raptors to get Pascal Siakam. And everybody knows you could read the tea leaves. If you give a team 3 first rounders or 4 first rounders, whatever that number was, if you give up that much draft capital, it means the player that you're trading for, you're intent on signing him long term. Because Pascal Siakam is a free agent this offseason. The crazy thing to me, Danny, is like, wait a minute. Did we make a mistake? Like, it's not to say that Pascal Siakam is a bad player. He just might not stylistically fit with Tyrese Halliburton because he's not necessarily a three-point shooter. Yeah, they might look good in the open court in transition, but when we get to playoff basketball where you can't rely on transition as much, they might just not be a fit, and it's going to look ugly for a guy who might just not work.
I think it's the mistake of not even saying might not work. It's just for a guy that might not resign. Like, why would
he's got to resign. There's got to be some type of, hey, bro, when you coming back here.
Extension should have happened before him. Like, you know what I'm saying? If I'm losing, why would I leave Toronto to lose again? Like, bro, what? No, I'm gonna see how it goes, and I'll maybe they took a risk on that, and you know how the business is, and it's always if the player does it, it's okay if the GMs do it, but the player does it, it's fucked up.
But you
get out of here. If I'm him, if I'm him, I wanted to trade it to a better team to win. This ain't that much better than Toronto. Like Toronto could be this next year. They could be, you know what I'm saying? They could find some pieces and be the same as Indiana. I'm trying to go to a team where I can win. So why would I resign to a place where I know it's not working out or things are not going well? Like, you do a sign and trade this summer, but I would resign.
Maybe it turns into a sign and trade, and maybe Indiana gets back some of that draft capital that they gave out. But like, Danny, we know this. Like, I don't know who. I can't say this with full confidence because I don't know.
We know the handshake deals. Yes, we know how.
We know the handshake deals between agents and front offices. Like you know, like you're gonna make this move. My franchise is about to give this much draft capital. That's what you say to the agent. The agent says, "Okay, word." That means okay. You know what I'm saying? So like,
we also
like
know
has to hold.
We also know a lot of handshake deals that have gone very wrong. I've seen it happen plenty of times, and for the players, me, it's like. If this is the situation, it's not that wrong. I said the same we've seen was a Marcus Morris was supposed to go to San Antonio, ended up back with the Knicks. DeAndre Jordan was supposed to go to Dallas. He ended up back with the Clippers. So we've seen a lot of things happen with Daryl Morey. You know what I'm saying? Like that things that people were claiming that was not handled correctly or lied to about. So sometimes it can go south. So we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting times. Hey, they still got a chance. They could still leave Milwaukee with a split, but the way they looked, that did not look good. And the way Tyrese Halliburton looks, if that's how your star looks in game one, All right, guys, we'll be back end of the week. Talk about all the game two action, maybe some game three action. And if I have a big smile on my face next time we're around, it means the Knicks are either up 2-0 or maybe up 3-0 against the 76ers. I'll be in the Garden tonight, y'all. So good. So good, Danny. I know we're not gonna talk about the Knicks Sixers series, but let me just tell you this right now. I've been in Toronto for your finals run. I went to a lot of Lakers games.
For those that don't know where Harrison's going with this, he thinks he's the fucking good luck charm for these teams.
No,
so him being in the building is gonna help.
I'm not even saying that. I was in Philadelphia for your finals for that playoff run where, you know, a lot of energy was in that building because the team was, you know, y'all were a very good team. Mm-hmm. Ain't no place like Madison Square Garden, bro. Just telling you, boy.
It's a little different.
MSG. Oh, the energy is going tilt.
They're not paying those celebrities $100,000, giving them $100,000 a season.
They could pay the celebrities all day. If that's what's happening, it don't matter because it's still, Danny, the energy inside is
sure. But my question is different. My question is not that. My question is because Kelly Oubre says, you know, they give these celebrities $100,000 seats.
Same thing happened with the Lakers.
Yes, bro. But my question is, do you think that statement is untrue? You think these celebrities care about the game?
You think Tracy Morgan don't care about the Knicks?
That's what I'm saying. So
that's what I'm saying.
He stands to be corrected. There's these celebrities that they're giving seats to, they do care about the. I don't know if you see you missed the back and forth banter.
Even if these celebrities get paid to be there, even if that's the case, you're not gonna tell me that some of these celebrities you think Fat Joe don't care about the Knicks winning?
Oh, I think the New York fans are a little different than the other fans. But not only they're paying them, maybe they're giving them free seats, but I don't think they're paying them to be there. But yes,
free seats. Yeah,
Kelly said that they don't care. They're there to be at the game and don't care about the game. I'm like, the Garden might be a little different, man. So those guys grew up New York fans. A lot of those people from New York grew up New York fans since they were kids. So,
exactly.
Bella let him know.
Kelly Oubre don't know fans because he even spent half of his career playing in Phoenix and Charlotte. He don't know no fans. He don't know what he's talking about.
He's learning, huh? Learning the hard way.
Knicks in six, yo. We out. I'm out of here.
Free rate, subscribe, review, yo.